your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Ooh, how's everybody doing today? It was a cold night last night. Fortunately, I had dogs and women and other things to snuggle up to. I hope your day has started off well. It is 11 o'clock here on the last Sunday in October, the Sunday just before the Virginia Film Festival starts, the Sunday before Halloween. What's your costume all set out to be? I haven't decided yet. You're welcome to email me with suggestions. Virginia Film Festival is our topic today. We have two pretty cool people in the studio. We have the main man who seems to join us every year, thank goodness, Richard Herskowitz. Richard, how are you?
Good to be here, Rick.
And thank you, sir, for coming in. Richard, your official title is Artistic Director, correct?
That's right. This is my 15th. Program as artistic director.
15?
Mm-hmm.
That seems like oh so many.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm correct, it's also your last.
Yes, my finale.
Your finale. Artistic director, we'll get into what that means mm-hmm. in just a few moments. We also have Alexandra Woodward with us. How are you, ma'am? Whoops, sorry. Maybe I should learn how to push the buttons in this. I've only been doing it for double-digit number of years. One more time, Alexandra Woodward. And you are now living in Charlottesville, correct?
No, actually, I live in Los Angeles.
Wow, what are you doing here?
Well, we have a farm here in Jefferson Vineyards.
Oh, so. Well, nice. Let me know when the party starts.
Anytime, come.
So, Alexandra Woodward, and you're going to be doing a film during the film festival. We're also going to talk about that today. Because one of the things that I'm interested in is showing a film that is still, I guess, in process, not exactly complete.
In progress. Yeah.
In progress. Thank you for the proper terminology. And so the film festival starts, Richard, the film festival starts this upcoming Thursday?
This Thursday, the 30th.
The 30th.
Right. Runs through Sunday the 2nd, 4-day weekend.
Now, is that, so it starts the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And runs through Sunday the 2nd. So is that the regular time frame for that, always the last few days?
Usually the last weekend in October. Sometimes it overlaps with Halloween, as it is this year, and appropriately enough, the theme is aliens. So, expect a number of people in costume. Also, opening night, the 30th is the anniversary, the 70th anniversary of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds radio broadcast. Probably one of the most famous radio broadcasts ever because it terrified millions of people around the U.S. who thought there was a real Martian invasion happening, whereas it was a radio play that Orson Welles and his Mercury Theater were performing on the radio with fake news reports and about the Martians coming. Anyway, it turns out that on that night 70 years ago, because of this fear, the McCormick Observatory decided to open up over the next few nights for people in the community to come and actually see for themselves that the Martians weren't coming. So we're using the McCormick Observatory over the weekend, and we're opening that as one of our theaters and allowing people to scan the skies.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. And again, you can find out everything. There are several inserts in some of our weekly magazines.
Yeah.
You can go online and find out what's playing. What's the official
film? VAfilm.com.
VAfilm.com. So mm-hmm. not exactly really difficult for those of you who are trying to remember these things. I always have a hard time remembering the internet title, VAfilm.com. You can pick up the insert. I know it was in The Hook.
It was in Seville last week. There's going to be an insert in The Hook this week. And the festival news is distributed all over town separately, so people can get that.
Excellent. But that was one of the things that really interested me,
mm-hmm.
was was going to the observatory and listening to this replay done.
Right.
I mean, I thought that was so cool. Who came up with that idea? Because artistic director, so that, you know, can you take claim of that?
Yeah, most of it. Actually, one of the people helping out here today, Sean McCord, who edits our festival news, he's the person who alerted me that it was going to be the 70th anniversary of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds broadcast. And we just started, you know, brainstorming at that point and decided, oh, we're going to play that in the observatory, because we knew we had the observatory as a possible theater. And so we're going to do it in the dome room with the telescope, so people being able to get up and actually, go to that incredible telescope. I mean, that observatory is like a science fiction movie set. You know, it was built over 100 years ago, and it's quite a place.
All right, so Virginia Film Festival, the title is Aliens, is the one that people seem to be focusing on, and we're going to get through the through the hour. We'll talk about a variety of things, but it's aliens, immigrants, outsiders, and extraterrestrials.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about what is the job of the artistic director. That's your official title, and who selects the theme and the work that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
How does Alexandra and her piece
get
invited to come to the 2008 Virginia
You're asking
Film
a lot
Festival.
Of questions, but I'll try to weave them all together.
We can go one at a time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I consider various themes and I run them by my advisory board, which is made up of a lot of people in the film, mostly in the film business, in Los Angeles, New York, and Virginia. And I guess what sparked it was all the discussion about illegal aliens swarming from south of the border, and it seemed like it was going to be a major topic this year. That's one of the factors in deciding on a theme. We try to get a topic that is in discussion, that's going to provoke interesting political and cultural discussion. But the festival theme also has to have a playful, fun dimension. And so what started out as this kind of a serious idea, okay, we want to tackle this whole idea of aliens, and I just started thinking, why do we call immigrants aliens? And doesn't that make us think of them like extraterrestrial invaders? That was the seed of this. And then realizing, well, we'd be able to mix together some, you know, great science fiction films with some of the exciting, I mean, really fascinating new films being made by independent filmmakers about immigrants and global migrations. Anyway, in the course of the year, one of those films about global migrations, one of the most interesting that I came across, was by Alexandra. It was a film about an Australian woman who has relationships with people mostly in the United States but all over the world that are her MySpace friends. And she actually decides to come over to the United States and meet face-to-face her MySpace friends, and which is just not done, you know, because the relationships are normally virtual. But it turns into a whole investigation of what virtual friendship means in relation to real friendship, and it was just a fascinating film in relation to the topic of immigration and transnational migration. Anyway, so the film was shown at an early stage to me, several other people in Charlottesville. We were all really excited about it. Alexandra is almost wrapping it up now. It's what we're going to see this, I guess it's Friday night or Saturday night? I'm going to just double. It's Friday night. What would you say, Alexandra? What stage is it at?
It's in the final stages of a rough cut, meaning that I'm going to take a few. Hopefully, I'd like to include the audience here, some thoughts from them. And with that, after that screening, I'd like to lock the film up.
Alexandra, why? How do you participate in this? And what by that I mean, what makes you decide that you're going to send this movie or gives you the nerve to send an uncompleted project? Is this, have you always wanted to participate in the Virginia Film Festival? I mean, I would be scared to death. It's not finished. Oh, my God. No, you can't see it. It's not finished.
And she wasn't nervous until now, Rick. Thanks a lot.
I know, Rick. Thank you.
I'm good at that.
Now that you put it that
That's
way.
That's the effect I have
actually,
on a lot
Rick
of women.
Actually,
Rick
is the second person to have said that, because my brother, who's a real filmmaker and is actually coming from Paris for the film festival, also said, I would not show this in this state. And I said, you know what? In a way, it's a film festival. I trust Charlotte's Villains. They're really film connoisseurs, and I think they're very interested people in the film realm, which has surprised me. And yes, the sound levels might be off, but I think that I hope that people will see beyond that. And I think that it might be very interesting for an audience to participate, which I don't believe I've ever seen in a film festival before.
How do you, what's the process of becoming part of the film festival?
Well, I was very lucky. As I said, I was, first of all, I am the director and the producer of the film. It's a very grassroots film, so I put whatever my savings were in there and some friends and family's money. And we did it at a very minuscule budget. And at some point, we had some troubles, and I decided to come and start editing in Charlottesville because we have a lovely farm, and it was quiet, and I could, you know, get rid of the buzzing noise of other people around me. And again, this is my first film, so as a director, so I was very nervous, as you said, and now you made me further nervous. But Richard was kind enough to come. I trust Richard's opinion in filmmaking, and he has an incredible knowledge. He's a real film connoisseur, in my opinion, and for films that I rather like, not normal mainstream films. And I invited him to a couple of screenings, and he, from the very beginning, just was, he felt there was something special here. And I think largely thanks to him, I continued forward.
And so you're doing this. You happen to have a friend who is the artistic director at the Virginia Film Festival.
He's not really, he's now become a friend thanks to this... this him being so supportive.
So what's your foot in the door?
My foot in the door is that I invited him to come to a screening along with Temple Fennell and a couple other people.
Yeah, I got
to
tell you that I see a lot of films by people from Virginia. It's often, I got to tell you, I often, there's a strong feeling of trepidation. It's like, oh my God, it's going to be difficult when I say no to this if I don't. And a lot of times this is really a world-class film festival. We have a national reputation. An international reputation. This last couple of years, we got a big grant from the Motion Picture Academy. I don't accept films unless I think they're of the stature of the best films being made out there. I remember the feeling of relief that washed over me when I saw Alexandra's film for the first time. This is really great. I invited it instantly. So anyway, this is one of those cases, and there are several others in the film festival too, like Lake City on opening night, where if a film from Virginia with a Virginia connection gets in, it more than deserves to be there.
All right, this is a Sunday morning wake up call here on WNRN. We're talking about the upcoming Virginia Film Festival. Starts Thursday, the 30th of October, plays through Sunday, November 2nd, just before Election Day. Please remember to vote. We have Richard Herskowitz here. He is the artistic director for the festival. We have Alexandra Woodward here. She is a film director and producer for a grassroots project that will be played during the festival. Feel free to call in, ask a question, make a comment if you'd like. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. We'll be talking throughout the hour about what will be going on at the festival, how decisions are made at the festival, and so on. Richard, back to the title of the film, Aliens, Immigrants, Outsiders, and Extraterrestrials. Mm-hmm. I asked you sort of a tangential question about this a little earlier, but you certainly could have filled the festival with just extraterrestrials, especially over the Halloween weekend that this happens to fall on this year. Was there a particular reason that you expanded this to include immigrants and outsiders? Was it political? Was there a film that you saw that you couldn't let go from this?
It actually started with the immigrants and expanded out to include the extraterrestrial sci-fi dimension. I mean, the film festival... This is an extremely unusual festival. Most of them are just showing brand new films. This one is really designed as like a four-day course on a theme. It's like a collage of new films, classic films, documentaries, experimental films, all around the theme. The theme needs to be coherent, but at the same time, I want the widest range of films possible, a mix of genres. Again, an all sci-fi film festival would just not have worked, been just too limiting. So being able to, again, have this kind of coherent exploration of the broader issue of immigrants and outsiders and extraterrestrials allowed me to have films ranging from West Side Story, a musical about dealing with immigrants, to, you know, documentaries like Calavera Highway, to to films like The Burning Plain at the Paramount, about a lot of films about Mexican immigrants, to all those great sci-fi classics like War of the Worlds and Close Encounters. So
I noticed that the film Alien is not part of the...
Oh, Aliens is. And actually, that's one of the things that happened. Yeah,
well,
you
it wouldn't
it.
Be the first thing that I missed.
I think it was 1999, we did a tribute to Stan Winston. We gave him the Virginia Film Award, and we showed Aliens on opening night, and Sigourney Weaver was here. And Stan Winston became very devoted to the Virginia Film Festival, joined our board, came back several times. He's the great creature special effects creator who died in the past year, and so we're showing two of his films, Aliens and Galaxy Quest, and we're going to show a reel of highlights from his career, including Predator and Terminator and all the other great creatures he created.
Are there ever any, and again, I make no claim that I went through the festival book. What's the proper term? The insert?
The festival news.
The festival news. Thank you. I did not go through that with a comb.
Uh-huh.
But do you ever, or did you this year, have some of the more, the sillier movies?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, there's, you know, there are all...
Because you talk about
few.
This being somewhat educational and a coursework. Mm-hmm. I believe course was the term you used. Do you ever have something that's really to make people laugh out loud at, you know, Plan 9 from Outer Space kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, I think, Galaxy Quest is one of those films that, I mean, it's a hilarious sci-fi parody. There's a lot of really fun stuff. I mean, you know, it is a dense program when people go online, but... In the program are, as always, brand new movies that are coming out that are going to be big hits over the next year. Some that have nothing to do with the theme, and that's always the case in the festival. Most of the films are theme-related. I mean, among them we have, for example, the new film The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke, which is his great comeback film, a movie called Slumdog Millionaire. About an Indian guy who gets on the Hindi version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. This is by Danny Boyle, the guy who made Trainspotting and 28 Days Later. And Passengers, the new Anne Hathaway film. And people, there's an enormous amount in the film festival of brand new films. Another one called Sunshine Cleaning, the new Amy Adams and... Emily Blunt film that was actually written by a Richmond-based screenwriter director. The program is just dense with brand new movies that are going to be big hits over the next year that people can see first. So yeah, when I say that the festival is designed as a 4-day course on a theme, Aliens. The festival is sponsored by the University of Virginia, and its particular niche in the world of festivals has been the quality of discussion. Major filmmakers from all over the world come here because people know that not only are the films shown, that are so rich, but the quality of discussion is so high, and people do love the experience of being able to talk about the movies with the makers afterwards and really learn about films. So that is a big element of this festival.
All right, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks, if you'd like to make a call or ask a question, make a comment. We are talking about the Virginia Film Festival, title being Aliens, Immigrants, Outsiders, and Extraterrestrials. Alexander Woodward is here with us, a film director and producer for a grassroots project. Richard Herskowitz here, the artistic director for the festival. Let me take a moment and give you the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Clear today, highs 65 to 70, a little warmer in the Lynchburg and Richmond area. Partly cloudy tonight, lows 40 to 45, mostly sunny and windy tomorrow. Highs in the mid-50s, lower 60s in Richmond. Right now in the valley, it's 53, 50 in Lynchburg, 57 in Richmond, 54 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, and let's thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And WNRN reminds those of you who made pledges to the just-completed fund drive but who haven't paid them to please do so as soon as possible. People who can take your payment and help you with your premiums are here until 7 p.m. on weekdays and sometime on weekends. Call us up. We're at 2250 Old Ivy Road in the Charlottesville area, behind the Ivy Inn. The zip is 22903 if you mail in your pledge. First round of written reminders has gone out to those with unpaid pledges. And thanks again to those of you who have already honored your pledge, helping us reach a 92% collection rate on the over $82,000 pledged. All right, let me punch all the proper buttons. And let's see. I have a question here from Jessica in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Herskowitz, she'd like to know about the search for your replacement. This is your last year. Tell us where you're going. I'd like to know why you're leaving, where you're going, and how the search for your replacement will come about.
Well, I think the search is going to begin very shortly. I'm going to Oregon. My wife moved a couple of months ago to be the director of the Jordan Schnitzer Art Museum at the University of Oregon. So she's been living in Eugene, Oregon. I've been living in Charlottesville since August, and we want to be together again. I started looking for possibilities out there and got hired by the University of Oregon to teach and develop some exhibition programs, including a possible film festival. And then I got hired to be the curator of a new film and media arts festival that's starting in Houston in November 2009, with a preview festival that, believe it or not, is happening November 20th to 23rd this year. So I've begun working on that as well. So I'm going to be involved in emerging festivals in both Houston and Eugene. I can't really say very much about the search for my successor. I've spoken this week and given some my recommendations and advice to deans at the in arts and sciences.
I'm available.
We'll see what happens.
I'm available.
You are available. Okay.
Yes.
And Jessica was the person. Is she available too?
Yes. I don't know. My guess is yes.
Well, it's a great job. I mean, it's been a fantastic gig for me. I mean, like I was saying before, there's nothing quite like it in the world of film festivals, this opportunity to weave such a variety of movies together as a kind of a collage or a mega film made up of a lot of films, all around an overarching theme. Again, there's nothing quite like it, and I'm going to miss it quite a bit.
It is one of the, I don't know if it's the only one, mm-hmm. it's certainly one of the few that seems to have such a, you called it coursework. It's much more, it has such an academic side
mm-hmm.
to it.
Yeah.
And one of my favorites, and let's talk about this for a moment, and Alexandra, I'd like to know your take on this as well, is the shot-by-shot mm-hmm. film discussion. It always seems to be one of the most popular
right.
pieces.
Right.
And tell me who's doing that,
yeah.
Because Roger Ebert
yeah.
has not been able to come back. He did
right.
not. He wasn't able to come back last year.
No, not for the past few years. But yes,
he
did
popular.
Originate it. He originated it, and we have had a number of fascinating people do it ever since. But basically, we take a film, and the director or the editor or a critic projects shot by shot the film and talks about it and takes questions from the audience. It's kind of like, you know, a director's commentary on a DVD, but it's interactive and incredibly interactive. The audience shouts out comments, asks questions, and it is one of the best classes. You know, when you say it's academic, I totally agree, but it's like the most special kind of film classes. This is Roger Ebert when he did these shot-by-shots. They just blew me away. He was so good at it, the way he would involve the whole audience in the analysis of the film. And I've been impressed by the people who've done it since. This year, Gregory Nava, one of the great American independent filmmakers, a Latino filmmaker, made 25 years ago El Norte, a classic film about a Guatemalan brother and sister who come up through Mexico to the U.S. The U.S. is El Norte, and they're illegals. The film is still extremely timely and hasn't dated a minute. So we're going to show a brand new film of the film on Saturday night, a print of the film on Saturday night. And then the next morning, Sunday morning, Gregory Nava is going to do his shot-by-shot workshop on the film. What's great is that there are several other classes. We have this year a festival fellow, Hamid Nafisi, who's teaching a week-long one-credit class on the theme of accented cinema. And every year we bring this fantastic film teacher, a guy named Harry Chotiner, who teaches film at NYU, who does a festival symposium where he takes a group of about 15, 20 people and they see films together and talk about them with the filmmakers in private sessions. These film classes, which these opportunities are getting some of the best teachers around to really give you so much background into the making of the film and these, this very short film class opportunity.
So, Alexandra, we're talking about this independent filmmaker doing his shot by shot. What is it like to be the independent filmmaker? You've talked about your film, and of course I have my notes, My Best Friends Are Strangers. Being an independent, I think your word was grassroots film, and I'm assuming that means that you dug deep into your savings. You said that you borrowed money from friends and family. Mm. Tell me how this gets made, and then putting your film up for, would you ever put it up for shot by shot issue?
Mm-hmm. I would love to. In fact, that's a very good question, Rick, because it is thanks to a shot-by-shot that was... When was Frank Pearson here?
Oh, I can't remember. It was the early 2000s. I remember
yeah.
that one, yeah.
I saw a shot-by-shot. I had no interest in film, but I had a shot... I was very lucky to be invited to a shot-by-shot by Frank Pearson, who wrote A Dog Day Afternoon, which I had also never seen. And I was so... I've always been interested in story, personally, but when I saw the film, first of all, it's one of my favorite films. I think it is probably my top film. And secondly, I think the opportunity of hearing the filmmaker or the writer discuss and interact with an audience who is really, I think, avidly interested mm-hmm. and curious and partake in a conversation as to how what the process was for making certain decisions. The best lessons for me were, at the end of the day, that accidents are usually, you know, when you're in production, you usually tend to freak out at the accident. But several months later, when you're in the editing room, you start to realize, thank God that happened, because it actually made it for a very interesting scene. So personally, I never went to school. The shot by shot was, for me, my learning room, and that's what got me involved into filmmaking. And as far as your question about whether I would be in a shot by shot, I would be honored to be in a shot by shot. And when I'm a better filmmaker.
Tell me
or
about
no, more seasoned filmmaker, I should say.
979-0919 and 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's the toll-free. Because anybody can come in. Doesn't matter. The tickets are... this is not a Charlottesville event, as Richard Herskowitz has said. This is a national event. Lots of people go online and find out what's playing, and it has hotel room information, et cetera, mm-hmm. for people who are coming down. Virginia Film Festival is our discussion today with Alexandra Woodward, who you just heard, a film director who will be putting up her film, My Best Friends Are Strangers. Richard Herskowitz here, the artistic director for the film festival. And now I've forgotten the question I was going to ask Alexandra because I ratted on away there. But I am curious, Alexandra, about... You talk about accidents and sort of being a little freaked out when they happen. This is a documentary, correct?
Yes, it is.
What made you or how did you choose to make a documentary after you saw Dog Day Afternoon, obviously not a documentary? How did you go from one genre of film to the other?
Well, obviously there are many years in between that, and... I actually made my first film, which I co-wrote, Frauds in Love, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. But this, again, was a happy accident. An old friend of mine, Zoe Brock, who is my partner in the film, and she is the girl from New Zealand we follow across 8,600 miles across America in my little rat-a-tat car, visiting all her MySpace friends, cyberspace friends. She came to me with this idea, and it's just, I didn't think twice about it. I said, well, let's do it. I think it's a fantastic idea. I don't understand MySpace. What the fuck is wrong with these people? Oops, can I say that?
No.
Sorry, blip that out. Blip. but honestly, that is the only word to describe it, because I it's so foreign to me. We just embarked on this journey without thinking, and before we knew it, I had money, because the idea was good, and... Thank God I didn't have time to think of the process. It was very chaotic, and we just went on the road and did it. So there's really no process to it.
And it made you think of dirty words. My,
no, Zoe taught me those.
Zoe taught you those. Yes, fart can be such a dirty word. So you travel across the United States in your car. Do you participate in the film? Are you on the front side of the camera as well?
No, I'm not. You might see me just because, as a documentary, sometimes you have to get a shot in the moment, and sometimes I might be in there. But you'll see me as the driver sometimes. We were four people stacked up and packed to the hilt in the Volkswagen that we had. And the sound man, the film, the cinematographer, John, who's also the editor, and Zoe. And we just drove around, and Zoe's usually the one in front of the camera. And usually it's become actually more about the people we meet more than her. It's really about them, because they were so valuable, and the film kind of changed once we were in the editing room after our experience.
I'm curious about some of the difficulties. Certainly money is always a difficulty when you're talking about an independent and I kind of use that word as independent / grassroots, but there's also a greater difference. There are plenty of independent films that have a lot of money to make them with. I'm curious about tell me some of the thrills of putting this on. You've already talked about a few of the difficulties, putting four people in the car and et cetera. But what are some of the thrills that come from this?
A year after beginning our shoot.
How long did it take you to make this?
It's taken a year and change.
Okay.
Meaning from the day we started, I'm talking about from the day we started Well, the first day on the road.
And how many days on the road were there?
We were 7 weeks on the road.
So you're 7 weeks away from your family.
Yes. I live alone in L.A., though, so there's not... other than my dog, although I love my family because they've been very supportive through this whole process, actually.
All right. But you're away from your home for mm-hmm. 7 weeks,
mm-hmm.
Jammed in a car with three other people. I'm assuming that... Well, it may not have been a 24-hour-a-day process that the majority of your hours were spent writing, discussing, coming up with potential changes to things. Because even though it's a documentary, it's, you know, it's how do we get there and do we turn the camera on here or there, et cetera. So there are a lot of, to me, it seems like there's a lot of discomfort and nervousness and questionable, you know, am I doing this correct? But to offset that, for you to finish this, there must have been this enormous number of thrills.
There were actually, for me, the main thrill is that we set out to do a project and we expected actually everybody, all these people that hid behind the computer screens would be freaks. I mean, that's what you expect, right? Mm-hmm. And the film became really about America.
Right.
And its people. And that, to me, was phenomenal. And I actually...
You know, it's a road movie.
Yeah.
And in the course of the road movie, you meet such extraordinary characters. I mean, that road trip looks to me like it was so much fun. And it was like such a series of revelations of people that you just don't expect, this wide range of characters who appear in the course of the movie. I mean, it's extremely entertaining. I guess it was more difficult to go through, but what you end up with is, like you said, a fantastic portrait of this country.
Well,
right
now. Yeah, and that's what's fantastic. That was the great surprise, is that, you know, you expect to meet these freaks, because why would anybody spend 8 hours a day online?
Right, because the description is encounter her virtual friends, what is it, self-professed MySpace addict.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, addict means 8 hours a day.
Right.
So, you know, you're talking about the people who... That's what they do. They go to work, they come home, they get on MySpace until they go to bed, where they get a lot less sleep than the normal person
they're
would get because they can't sign off the computer.
They're very self-aware. And they analyze themselves. They know that there's something possibly disturbing about what they're doing with their obsession. And they're thinking about it and talking about it during the film. And Alexandra has other people come in, some fascinating speakers like Sherry Turkle, who's a scholar who kind of explores virtual communities, commenting on the whole phenomenon, getting some distance. But I'm always impressed by the people themselves are very self-aware.
The people are extremely touching, actually. And what's fascinating, I came from the perspective of, oh, what's wrong with these people? And that's why I wanted to make this film, because I didn't understand it. But there's obviously something that I'm missing, because when over 200 million people are members of MySpace, I mean, if you think about it, it's that amount of people makes the fifth largest country in the world. And it's alien. That's why I think it actually fits this theme. When Richard asked me, I said, but it's not an alien film. I don't know where we fit in. And then I realized, wait a minute, cyberspace is an alien realm.
Mm-hmm.
It's not tangible. And so all these non-tangible products are being, I don't know how to explain this, but they're obviously have a great success online, but yet in the real realm, it's air. It's kind of like the credit crisis that we're undergoing right now.
Were they okay with you meeting them? I mean, did you give them a lot of notice? You're like, by the way, we're going to start making this documentary, and we'd like to stop by your place in 8 months. Or did you talk to them from the road and said, by the way, we're coming through your town tomorrow?
Well, remember that these are all Zoe's friends, and she'd spent 4 months just making friends with these people. Initially, she actually wanted to blog. She was going to practice her writing skills for a magazine. And so someone recommended, why don't you join MySpace and test it out? And through that, she started making all these friends, and she found herself very enmeshed in these people's lives and their personal lives, and sharing information at her own behest that she would have never imagined that she would share in the public realm like this.
But that doesn't mean that these people were comfortable with you stopping by.
Well, we called, we let everybody know that this was our intention. And actually, that was, for me, it was a debate because I thought, well, it might be more interesting if we just surprise them and see how they react. But obviously, we had to, the friendship quotient was very important to honor. And respect of these people was very important to honor. So we did decide to let them know. And Zoe, as I said, these are all her relationships, and they were very, most of them, only two of them freaked out and just disappeared, which means, wow, they may have not been real. And that's the other surprising thing about the film. You expect these people to hide behind the computer screens and not be who they are, but they actually were more than that.
11:40 here on the Wake Up Call. We're talking with Alexandra Woodward about her upcoming documentary that will be shown during the film festival. My Best Friends Are Strangers. We'll keep talking about that. Richard Herskowitz also here. He's the artistic director for the film festival that begins Thursday, October 30th.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, no one is surprised that builders are having problems these days as the housing slump is deep and nationwide. But what may raise eyebrows is the local pain that has trickled down from the failure of just one company. The Hook's foodie goes looking for a good gyro, and did you know a full-service gas station still existed? Well, it did, but now it doesn't. The Hook tells all. The Hook, the IMAX version not yet available. And let's thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support. Blue Ridge has gear for the coming season, including fleece and rain shells for men, women, and kids. You'll find shoes for city, school, or mountain trails from Keene, Merrill, and the North Face. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barrack Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. You'll find them at Wintergreen in Richmond's Chesterfield Town Center and at BRMS.com. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere at noon, because Drew Thompson will be here for Les Temps Purdue. The best of 80s and 90s alternative, no Madonna, Steve Winwood, or Metallica, but you will hear The Wallflowers, Juliana Hatfield, and Pavement. And Drew likes requests. Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, back to Mr. Herskowitz and Alexandra Woodward. Let's see. Alexandra, a question for you as we talk about, and I see the phone's ringing, so 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. Your question, your comment. Alexandra, eventual goals for the film. I mean, I'm assuming that you're not going to stop, or you hope to not stop, at the Virginia Film Festival. Are you going to go win a prize at Sundance?
I have no idea. I actually submitted the film to Sundance, and we'll see what happens. My end goal is obviously to sell it and be done with it and move on to the next project. But I value this. My Best Friends Are Strangers has been a very arduous experience, but such a rewarding experience for my own personal knowledge and gain of filmmaking. And I'm really looking forward to the future.
My girlfriend just called. Richard, I'll put you on the spot right now. Uh-huh. Sarah says for me to score two tickets to the world's thing in the observatory. So I'm putting you on the spot see what I can do at the end of the hour. So you're going to submit it to Sundance. Why would you, is there, and again, I know nothing about this, but you said submit it to Sundance, sell it, and be done with it. Is there no sort of string attachment to this where, you know, I remember the first piece of art that I ever made that got accepted at a show, a juried show. And I'll be damned if I'm going to ever give that away, sell that, you know, do anything with it other than hang it on the wall at my place. Are you ready to be done with this? I mean, when you say that to me, it sounds like, please, go away. Stop hassling me.
No. This will probably have lived with me for 2 years. It's what I've eaten, breathed. I don't know if that's proper English. Mm-hmm. But and lived through. it had a very tumultuous stage to it, and I am ready to basically, I wish I could have more money and make, I think every filmmaker wants to make a better film, but I'm learning now the hard lesson that, you know, at some point you just have to stop. And I did the best I could with what my limited resources were, which I'm pretty proud of at this point.
Yeah. I think this film's really going to take off. And it's everybody I know who's seen it. I mean, we're talking about, you know, people like, well, a lot of people on my board have now seen it. Everybody's very enthusiastic about it. And I think the crowd is, this is going to be the first time you're showing it with a full audience Friday night at 10 o'clock at Regal, and I think people are going to really respond.
Don't remind me. I am petrified because it is, as I said, a kind of, it's not finalized with the sound edit and all that. That does make me a little bit nervous.
I don't think people are going to even realize that, Alexandra.
All right. It is Alexandra Woodward here. We're talking about her film, My Best Friends Are Strangers, which you'll be able to see. Which day is it?
It's Friday night, the 31st, at 10 o'clock at Regal.
At Regal. And
downtown.
I don't want to say anything, but tickets still available.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Not in a bad way, but just so that people can. We're talking all about it. Score tickets. Go see.
Yep.
I mean, it does sound. It sounds.
You can go to VAFilm.com.
It sounds really cool, actually, to me. Yeah.
It's never. No film has ever been made about social networking, which is such a huge phenomenon. So. Mm-hmm. And it's a different, it's a very human take on it. So,
mm-hmm. I'm actually, that sounds pretty exciting to me.
Most of our sales are at the box office. There are going to be seats and people will be able to get tickets at the box office.
So you save some.
Oh, yeah. We definitely hold back, you know, tickets for sales on the night of the show.
Oh, Sarah will be glad to know that there are tickets left for War of the Worlds at the Conservatory.
And Sarah, do come to see My Best Friends Are Strangers, because I think it might be more entertaining.
Yes, well, and I believe she has a MySpace page. All right, Mr. Herskowitz, let's talk a little bit about other parts of the festival, because one of the things that's always, I've always found interesting is you have lots of events for kids so that it becomes a family event and not just this, oh, honey, let's go out and, you know, and check out some things where the parents have to, I guess, sort of separate themselves from their children.
Yes, and Saturday is what we call Family Day, and we have two back-to-back screenings at the Paramount Theater in the afternoon. We're continuing a new tradition that we started last year at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. We're showing some silent films with live musical accompaniment by Charlottesville Kids. That is this week, a class of Charlottesville school children working with Paul Reisler and Terry Allard, the musicians who have an organization called Kid Pen Alley, are going to write music to accompany Charlie Chaplin's The Immigrant, as well as some other short films, like an early version of Jack and the Beanstalk and Alice in Wonderland. That's on Saturday afternoon at the Paramount, and it was a huge hit last year when we did it with Peter Pan, and we had this live music accompaniment. Then at 4 o'clock, for somewhat older kids, we have this new animated film, which is one of the many new premieres that is upcoming films we're showing in the film festival this year that knocked me out in the course of the year. It's a film called Terra, and it's a CGI animated film by an incredibly talented Canadian animator whose name is Menit Cerbus. And this film, which is about another planet which is invaded by humans who have to abandon Earth because of the environmental destruction here and take over that planet. But the invasion is seen from the standpoint of the extraterrestrials. Extremely entertaining, unbelievably high quality CGI animation. It's got voices by Luke Wilson and other well-known actors. That's 4 o'clock on Saturday at the Paramount. That's part of our family day. And also during the afternoon, the Discovery Museum is open free to kids. And the Discovery Museum is doing a free program at 10 o'clock in the morning at City Space downtown. So anyway, it's a lot going on for kids next Saturday.
All right, 11:50 here on the Wake Up Call. Feel free to call up. Don't ask for tickets to be set aside for you, as Sarah did, but 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. if you need a Virginia VA film
.com
for to go online, maybe if you think that your frequently asked questions can be answered there. Richard Herskowitz here in the studio, the artistic director, Alexandra Woodward, talking about her grassroots film that will be playing, My Best Friends Are Strangers. Richard, as we talked about at the start of the program, while the title of this year's festival is Aliens, mm-hmm. Immigrants, Outsiders, and Extraterrestrials, mm-hmm. you started with the immigrants part of things and moved into extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
But it is over Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of special things are happening on Halloween
that might get
those folks involved?
You know, the whole Halloween weekend. So, I mean, the War of the Worlds on Thursday night, besides that, the radio broadcast, then people can go at 10 o'clock that night and see War of the Worlds at Culber Theater, the 1950s George Pal film. It's going to be introduced by the biographer. Friday night, again, we have Galaxy Quest and the Stan Winston tribute. That's Halloween night. There's a lot of stuff, extraterrestrial sci-fi films all through the weekend.
All right, dial us up again if you have a comment or a question. I'm curious, Richard and Alexandra, together, you mentioned this being sort of a national film festival now.
Mm-hmm.
And you also mentioned that it's almost international.
Mm-hmm. I'll say, you know, one of the things about the filmmakers, and I've actually got Alexandra to thank for this. You know, she lives in Los Angeles and knows a lot of people there. One of the people she knows is the great, great screenwriter, Guillermo Arriaga, and she helped us get him to come to our film festival this year. Arriaga is one of the Mexican filmmakers who have come up to the U.S. and are transforming American cinema. And that was just one of the ideas that's been percolating in the festival this year. The fact that while there is this anxiety about Mexican immigrants in our political discourse, the fact is that incredibly talented Mexican filmmakers have been moving back and forth between Mexico and the U.S. Guillermo Arriaga himself has written 21 Grams and Babel and Amores Perros and Three Burials of Melquiades Estrada that Tommy Lee Jones directed. Some of the best films of the last few years he's behind, and he's been making films both in the Mexico and the U.S. On Saturday night, he is going to premiere his latest film called The Burning Plain. And this is the first film that he not only wrote but directed. It stars Charlize Theron as well as Kim Basinger. I saw it at Toronto, and it just blew me away. It's got Arriaga's characteristic style of weaving together different times, going back and forth in time, going across borders, going back and forth between Mexico and the U.S., going between different languages, English and Spanish. He does that in all of his films. The Burning Plain is one of the films we're going to be showing. You know, last year we showed The Savages and Before the Devil Knows You're Dead and The Diving Bell and the Butterfly before they opened theatrically. The Burning Plain is one of those films that's going to open up in the next few months, and a lot of people are going to be seeing, but on Saturday night you can see it with Guillermo Arriaga. Let me just mention one other thing about Arriaga and why I'm so grateful to Alexandra for introducing us. I heard him speak in Toronto, and he is absolutely mesmerizing. He is so articulate, and he talks in allegories and stories. He just blew me away. So we are showing four of his movies this weekend. We're showing Babel and Three Burials of Melquiades Estrada and Amores Perros. But the main event will be Saturday night at the Paramount when we're going to show The Burning Plain and follow it with an extended interview with Arriaga.
Well, you're talking about this being a national and international film festival, mm-hmm. but it seems like one of the things that gets the Charlottesville and Central Virginia area mm-hmm. so excited mm-hmm. are the local folks who've actually made and are somehow participating in this world-known festival. So I'm curious if there are any others. We'll give Alexandra the benefit of the doubt since she came to Central Virginia mm-hmm. to finish off her film, although she said she lives in Los Angeles. I don't know really that anybody is that big a deal, although it helps you, mm-hmm. Richard. But, you know, are there any other locals who are participated in some way.
Yes, I mean, there are a number. Let me just say that opening night, the film Lake City, was directed by Perry Moore, who went to the University of Virginia, met Mark Johnson, who was the chair of our board and the producer of the Chronicles of Narnia films and Diner and Rain Man. He met him when he was a student at UVA, and together they partnered in making Lake City. But the film co-stars Sissy Spacek and Dave Matthews in the film, and as well as being shot in Richmond. So that's a very much a Virginia film, but with a lot of a lot of the people involved in it now live all over the country making films, but they're thrilled about being able to bring them back to this area. On Saturday, we're doing two back-to-back programs. I'm sorry, on Sunday afternoon, Movie Making in Virginia and Movie Making in Charlottesville, where we're going to, at the Gravity Lounge, free programs, and we're going to feature a lot of work by filmmakers from Virginia and Charlottesville. Just one last one I'll mention. On Saturday night, Sunshine Cleaning. This was one of the big hits at Sundance last year. It's a film that stars Amy Adams and Emily Blunt and Alan Arkin. It was written by a Richmond-based screenwriter, Megan Holly, who is incredibly talented. She, with that script, she won the Governor's Screenwriting Award at the Virginia Film Festival in 2003. And one of the judges was Glenn Williamson, who is on our board. He ended up optioning the script and making it and getting it sold this year. So this isn't going to be coming out for another few months, but in 2009 when it comes out, it's I think going to be a big hit.
All right, 11:56 here in the Wake Up Call, as our last few minutes with Richard Herskowitz and Alexander Woodward about the Virginia Film Festival starting this Thursday, October 30th, and going through Sunday, November 2nd. I do want to remind you that you are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Let me thank 45fix.com for their support today. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no obligation estimates available anytime. That's 45fix.com. It's the number 4 and the number 5 and the word fix.com. All right, just a few moments left. Richard, this happens every year.
Mm-hmm.
You always need more volunteers, right? It seems like you never have enough area volunteers to sell tickets or to drive people around.
That's true.
Which
we
I did, which
drivers.
Was very cool.
Yes. If people are interested in driving some of our guests around, you know, we just added the actor David Morse is a guest. He's coming with the film Passengers on Friday night. Just a great actor, and we also have Troy Garrity coming, the son of Jane Fonda, and the star of Soldier's Girl. Anyway, he's going to be here on Thursday night with Lake City, along with Sissy Spacek. Anyway, a lot of fascinating guests. Peter Riegert, the actor with Local Hero. If people want to help us out as volunteer drivers, we would greatly appreciate it. And you can just call 1-800-UVA-FEST.
And, you know, we'll finish up with how you start, mm-hmm. which is there's always the Grand Gala event. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be at the Grand Gala event this year? And are there tickets still available for that?
Well, you know, opening night with Lake City, we have Sissy Spacek and Troy Garrity, who are the lead actors in the film. Troy Garrity's...
I meant the big party.
Oh, at the big party.
Isn't there a big party where everyone gets well-dressed up?
At the museum afterwards, there is a gala party. And... there are going to be a lot of the festival guests over the weekend are going to be here, and there's also a rumor of a
break your rumor right here, right now, please.
Well, we'll see what happens, but I think there are going to be some special guests in attendance that night. People are going to find out about in the course of the week.
You can't leave us with a rumor like this.
Yes, that's
Jared,
awful.
Come on.
Yes, that's really awful. All right. I hope you'll at least call back to NRN so that we can break it, because WNRN is a helpful sponsor. I don't know what level we participate at, but NRN does support the Virginia Film Festival as well. All right, Richard, thank you so much for coming in. I hope this film festival goes out as one of the best ever, and really support you in your future down the road. Alexandra, I'm really excited to see My Best Friends Are Strangers. And once again, it's Friday night at 10 o'clock?
At the Regal. Friday night, October 31st.
All right.
And thank you, Ruth.
You can still purchase tickets for almost every event that's out there. The Virginia Film Festival does hold back tickets for people to purchase them on site at the box office. All right. Good luck for everyone. And Drew Thompson up next with Les Temps Perdue.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.